The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So glad you're with us just a few hours ahead of Thursday night football, Rams and Pats, and we're all over that game. We're going to pick it, of course. Plus, really important reason why Cowboys-Bengals matters more than you think. Keyshawn Johnson there, Marcus Spears behind me in the big screen, Dan Orlovsky over there. And we got so much to get to. Let's get to Adam Schefter as we begin with tonight's game. Patriots actually stayed out on the West Coast after beating the Chargers. And Adam, Patriots quarterback Cam Newton listed as questionable tonight. What do we know about his status?
Well, there are a couple of injury questions about Cam's in tonight's game, starting with Cam Newton, the Patriots quarterback, listed as questionable on the injury report. But just like last week, when he also was listed as questionable for the Chargers game, Cam Newton played Sunday, and he'll play tonight against the Los Angeles Rams, despite that abdominal strain that has him listed as questionable for tonight. And as for the Rams and their running back, Cam Akers, he was limited in practice some during the week due to a shoulder injury. However, the Rams did not list him on the final injury report. Akers is expected to be a go tonight. So the Rams will have Cam Akers, the Patriots will have Cam Newton, and we will have a Cam good time tonight watching the game.
Oh my goodness. You were waiting the whole time to get that in. Cam good time. I love it. All right, anyway, let's keep on that same train here as we talk about this game. While only Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry have rushed for more touchdowns than Cam Newton this season, it's been a different story when he's dropped back to pass. He's gone 15 straight starts now without multiple passing touchdowns, the longest streak since Sam Bradford went 16 straight from 2010 to 2012. Newton's touchdown to interception ratio actually the second worst in the league, ahead only of Sam Darnold. So as we continue to talk about this, Dan, what does the game plan for Cam, this offense, look like tonight?
Yeah, they're going to challenge the Rams to match their physicality. Like, they're going to line up and play smash-mouth football, and the Rams are going to have to answer. The Rams are going to have to be willing defensively to play face mask to face mask. The Patriots are going to put that fullback on the field and go, okay, here comes 60 snaps like this, where they're going to try to pound the football downfield. Jakob Johnson is going to test the physicality of that Rams defense. And that's the thing. You got to answer that question on a consistent basis. They will not expose their pass game to this Rams secondary, but the multitude of fullback runs that they will challenge this defense with, this defensive line that's really good and really athletic, those linebackers that are really good and really athletic, they're going to have to go, all right, let's put them on tight this evening, because it is going to be an old-school smash-mouth football game.
I think you're right to a degree, Dan, but I also think that this is what Bill Belichick wants the Rams to do, is get into the mindset, oh, they've done this the last couple games. They're going to run the football, so we're going to tee it up to stop the run. They're going to be more of a balanced attack. Yeah, they'll run the football, but a little more balanced. They'll not necessarily 50-50, could be 60-40, and I know they've struggled in the past game, but you go back to what they did against Seattle. That's kind of what you're going to see. I know Julian Edelman is out of lineup, but Jacoby Myers is there. He takes the replace of that. So when you're talking about running the ball, they're certainly going to do that for sure, but they're going to have to throw, because if they don't, and they become one-dimensional, they're going to get run out of Inglewood, California.
All right, Marcus, so Key thinks they're going to throw it more, the Patriots offense. Dan thinks it's all about physicality. What do you think?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's about physicality. Listen, this Damian Harris has been kind of the new uptick running back, exactly in the vein of what the New England Patriots want to do. And the bottom line is, like, to Key's point, you have to try to throw the ball down the field, but they ain't good at it. Like, I don't know what the New England Patriots is going to find against this L.A. Rams defense to tell them that they can push the ball downfield. Balance? No. I expect this to be 70-30, 80-20 type run game. And I expect to see some trick plays. And that includes Cam running the football as well. The one thing you have to do against the Los Angeles Rams defense is use their attack against them. And to be honest, Josh McDaniels has been one of the best offensive mind in the leagues at doing that, getting underneath that rush from that defensive line with screen game to James White, and understanding that Damian Harris hitting traps, hitting some trap plays where you have quick hitting north and south downhill runs. That's what they're going to have to major in. And then, like I said too, maybe we see a double pass. Maybe we see a trick play type style come against this defense. The New England Patriots, the thing that all three of us know on this set as analysts, they are going to pull out the stops at every and exhaust everything and then formulate a game plan for the next opponent. But I expect to see them major in the run. I agree more with Dan.
Yeah, one of the things that I've always appreciated and respected about New England is they never do what they're not good at for that game. Mm. And they'll always figure out, like, okay, the team that we're playing, what are they not good at? You know, and so if you look at the Rams, their secondary is flawless. You can get after them a little bit in a run game. It also would minimize Aaron Donald's greatest strength. Aaron Donald's greatest strength is rushing the passer. He's very good at everything, but rushing the passer. And so that's why I think New England's going, okay, what we do well by far this year is pound the football, run the football. And what the Rams somewhat struggle with defensively is stopping the run. So they're just going to get a heavy dose of that. And I think the reason it's difficult to play against a team that runs the football right at you with the fullback, you don't see it a lot. You just don't practice it against fitting a fullback the right way. Am I hitting it with the right shoulder? And that's 20, 30 snaps a game that you're going to get tonight. They only need 3, 4, or 5 of them to bust. That's why I think New England's going to play smash mouth.
I think when you look at it, though, you would say that based on the pass defense and looking at the numbers. But you got to look at the offense that they've played against in terms of pushing the ball down the field. Look what the San Francisco 49ers decided to do with them. Look at Buffalo earlier in the year, the things that they decided to do with them. Not the Chicago Bears. Don't look at those type of teams. Don't look at the Dallas Cowboys. Those numbers are factored into the passing defense. If people look at that and they go, well, they stopped them. No, look at the passing teams. Look at the teams that got good receivers and good quarterbacks. Doesn't mean New England has that, but balance is the key to winning this football game.
Just about 4 hours, 13 minutes away from kickoff on Rams and Pats, and we're going to pick this game later on. I got to tell you, we got three people on one team and one person, the outlier, picking the other team. A lot of angst over that pick, by the way. All right, Dan, time now for DraftKings Play of the Day. Give me a player you know is poised for a monster game this weekend.
Well, I'll start with the running backs. I'm going to look at Ezekiel Elliott playing the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a must win. They've given up 140 yards on the ground in 3 out of the last 4 games. I think he's going to have a big weekend. Number two, Corey Davis at wide receiver, playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They give up like 280 yards through the air every game. He's gone over 100, 3 out of his last 5 games. He's also averaging 20 yards per catch when he does it. And then quarterback. Listen, I know it's a big investment, but this week Aaron Rodgers is worth it. He's also going to make 5 throws that you go, he's only one of the few 5 people on the planet that can make it. That's why I think Rodgers is worth the investment.
Yeah, all right, you convinced me. I'll take Rodgers. Hey, from one great veteran quarterback to another, let's get to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 1-3 in the last 4 games, which is, of course, since they signed Antonio Brown. Look, I'm just pointing it out. Is it a coincidence? That's up for debate. But during this tough stretch, the Bucs offense is scoring nearly a touchdown less per game than they were from weeks 1 to 8. Back to that debate, though, for Tom Brady specifically, he's registered a QBR of 62 when Brown is on the field and 72 when he's off the field. So, Key, why has the offense looked worse when adding a piece like Antonio Brown into the mix?
You know, it's tough. Like, as Dan would tell you, you got receivers that you may have to try to get the football to. But here's what I would say. Here's what I would say. I think it just happens to be the situation. I just don't think that they're in rhythm. I think that's what it is. They're trying to, there's too many toys. And I said this at the beginning of the year or when they signed Antonio. When you have so many good players, you're almost forced, Byron Leftwich is almost forced to have to figure out how to keep everybody happy. And it falls on Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not used to having 5 and 6 different weapons to deal with. So now you're forcing him to have to look at everybody. On top of that, they've played good teams now. Yeah. It's not like they played a bunch of bums. You think about the Saints and the Chiefs and some of these other teams that they've played, but I know one thing. This is a must-win against the Minnesota Vikings, or they will find themselves looking on the outside in Tampa and somebody else playing in their stadium come Super Bowl Sunday.
They're currently 7-5, Dan. What are your thoughts on what you just heard Key say?
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can throw it around a lot to all those receivers doesn't mean you should. Having wide receiver talent is an intoxicating mistress. You know, like you see all those
pretty looking wide receivers out there. I'm not going to cut him off and scream at him.
You see it all and you're like, man, I just want to throw it all the time. Your identity is wrong. You play football outside in Tampa Bay right now. I've been saying it all year. Play it inside out. Put the multiple tight ends on the field. That's what you do best. Why? Because your run game becomes a bigger part, and then you're more apt to utilize your play action pass. It simplifies the defense. Brady can find the matchup that he wants. Gronk in the red zone. Cameron Brate running away from leveraged safeties. That play action chunk happens a little bit more for your offense. So they've got to stop thinking, how many different ways can we get the ball to the receivers? And start thinking, what's the best way to get the football to the receivers? Put your tight ends on the field. Run the football a little bit more. Use play action pass. Those receivers are good enough to win their one-on-one matchups. And they will, please. Because if you can't, I can't back you as a playoff contender.
Stop running it on first down. Okay, anyway, but they have had a well-timed bye week, Marcus. Maybe that helps them to get some of this figured out.
Yeah, man, I like what Key and Dan is saying, but in my mind, all I could hear when they was talking was, I just want to scream to Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, figure it the hell out.
Yes.
Everybody wants the players that you have. Everybody wants to have that type of roster. Now we going to cry about them having too many people? Oh, the downfall is they've given me too much talent. Man, get the hell out of here. When Brady went to Tampa, that was the reason he went there. It's because they already had Godwin and Mike Evans, and he wanted to bring in Rob Gronkowski, and O.J. Howard was already there, Cameron Brate. All of this talk about the weapons and Antonio Brown is the hell no, we've been talking about this before Antonio Brown entered the fray. So look, the bottom line is, when you have all of that talent, it is the responsibility of the coach to make sure it can go as planned.
You know, Marcus, it's very difficult, though, when you are not used to having 4 and 5 different guys at the skill position that you got to try to satisfy. It is true, though, yes, coaches get caught up in trying to satisfy guys that have a lot of talent because they don't want that talent to go to waste. That's why guys become good in this league. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, you can point to them and say, they got a lot of talent, but they're used to having that. Patrick Mahomes has never had a lack of talent. He's always had it. Tom Brady, on the other hand, this is all new to him. Yeah. He's still trying to figure out, who's my guy? Whenever he gets into trouble, who's the first person he goes to? Gronkowski.
Right.
Because he knows that that's the guy that can get it done. I trust him.
Reliable.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you bring up the Chiefs. So much of that is they've got the scheme that works with all those weapons, which I think brings it back to our initial point here. Let's talk about one of those weapons for Tampa Bay, bringing back Adam Schefter for this, and some news coming in this afternoon on Mike Evans' health.
Well, Laura, before I get to that, I should say in Tampa, it's always the same rule in Tampa. Just get the ball to Key. Whatever you do, get the ball to Key in Tampa. As for Mike Evans.
Adam, Key tried to have like a serious face for a second there, and he just couldn't even help it. Go ahead.
Go on, man. Leave me alone.
He still believes it. That's the thing. All right. As for Mike Evans, was limited in practice on Wednesday, but did not practice at all today. So basically a setback from where he was, or a step back from where he was yesterday, which has to be a little bit of a troubling sign for a team coming off a bye week, and he's gone from limited to not practicing at all one day to the next. So maybe it is a good idea to go 2 tight ends this weekend, work it inside out. Maybe they won't have the excellent wide receiver Mike Evans this weekend, in which case, keep throwing the ball to Key.
Yeah, there you go. That's always the answer. Hey, Evans not the only big name we're keeping an eye on in that division. What do we know about Drew Brees' status for this weekend?
Laura, the signs continue to point to Drew Brees not playing this week. He was present in practice today, was not going through the drills with the teams. However, obviously recovering from the 11 fractured ribs, the punctured lung, and it's a situation where basically right now it's shaping up as another start for Taysom Hill. As for Daniel Jones, limited in practice today due to the hamstring injury, but Joe Judge already has said that he's optimistic that Jones will be out there on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. If he can't play, obviously Colt McCoy would be the backup, but right now the Giants are counting on Jones being there. As for Zeke Elliott, if the Cowboys are practicing, Zeke would not be out there due to a calf injury. In fact, they said that it's a situation where he's limited Wednesday. They don't expect him to practice much before Sunday. They play the Bengals. Maybe they'll be working in a little bit more Tony Pollard on Sunday against Cincinnati. Christian McCaffrey is not expected to play on Sunday against Denver, according to Matt Rhule, the Panthers head coach, who held out McCaffrey from practice today due to a quad injury. McCaffrey's only played 3 games this season. Ankle, shoulder, now quad. Challenging season for McCaffrey at this point in time. And also in Washington, no practice today for running back Antonio Gibson. He's battling a case of turf toe. Doesn't look like he'll be ready to play on Sunday.
Adam, all over the latest injuries, all the news that you need right here on NFL Live. And huge playoff implications between the Raiders and Colts on Sunday. Both Marcus Spears and Keyshawn Johnson used the phrase Jekyll and Hyde when they pass along their notes on these teams. So that's why we got Jekyll and Hyde there in the middle. Marcus, give us the good and the bad for the Colts this season.
High with the Indianapolis Colts. First, this team has looked magnificent at times. Offensively, they have put things together. Phillip Rivers stopped turning the football over. They've shown the strength of that team as far as their offensive line being able to run the football. They've done some really, really nice things with some really, really good wins this year. I want to know if Indy can keep that up or will it be the opposite? Now, one can say, look, it's love because in some of these games, they still got wins. But against 3 AFC opponents that they would potentially have to see, they've lost these games. I know injuries played a part. Tennessee, obviously the loss to Cleveland, as you see here. So this team has been up and down. What concerns me, the last 3 games, giving up 32 points per game. And the defense is what we tout. It's time to start going, Colts, and being consistent.
Let me get to the Raiders here. When you think about the Raiders, the one positive that I take from anything that they've done is the vertical passing game, bombs away. That is exactly what they do. They know how to push the ball down the field. Not traditional in the West Coast system. This changes a little bit because they got some speed to burn with Aguilar and Ruggs, and they get the ball underneath to the tight end. But then when you think about the bad side of it, it's the games that you see them get run out of the building, the secondary. They allowed the Atlanta Falcons to just take them straight to the woodshed. Or you think about what they're capable of doing in terms of trying to stop guys. It's got to be the linebackers in the defense front because the secondary, they give up the yams. They allowed the Jets to just go ham on them. And that's not good at all. If you want to make the playoffs, you got to slow that thing down.
Hey, Key, yams and ham. John Gruden's on line one. He's like, man, Keyshawn Johnson talking about my team here. It wasn't all positive. What we got on that?
No, we all right. We good.
We're totally good. You guys are besties.
Yeah, we're great.
Said something else. Tried to get you, Key. All right, anyway, listen, the Chiefs are on a 7-game winning streak, but since week 9, they have had an average margin of victory just north of a field goal. That's the worst mark among the 14 teams currently in playoff position. Kansas City now looking ahead to back-to-back road games against the Dolphins and the Saints. So listen, here's the thing. They are the defending Super Bowl champs. They've been unbelievable. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have all these weapons. But Marcus, is there any concern when you see that this Chiefs team is playing such close games in recent weeks?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not a one damn concern, Els, because they win them all. Listen, this could be an issue. We can create problems for the Kansas City Chiefs. People have to remember, look, this is the NFL. Like, this team is getting everybody's A game, and they still continue to figure things out. The one loss they had, the team put 40, right? Now, if you was to ask me about a legit concern for the Kansas City Chiefs, is that at times this defense has looked like they can be had in certain moments throughout this season. But nobody is worried about the damn Kansas City Chiefs. We'll start talking about them in February when they get to the Super Bowl. The bottom line is they win close games. They are the team everybody fears in close games. And they have the one player that when you know if he has the damn ball, you gonna lose a close game. So, no, I have not one concern, not one iota about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Only concern I would even have about them is if they see the Raiders in the playoffs. That's the only concern because the Raiders play them well. Other than that, no major concerns. Go back to last year and think about all the conversation about the concerns. You talk about, I did a Dan. I wrote down some stuff, Dan.
Oh, let's go. Like, let's go, Key. He pulled a Dan. He took notes.
Yeah, hey. I did a Dan. Y'all making me laugh too much right now. But 5 games last year.
Okay.
6 or fewer points. This year, 5 games, 6 or fewer points. And then I look at it this year, 7 or more, a touchdown or more, 6. Last year, 9. Those are the wins for them. Those are all close games. So why would you be concerned about a team that wins football games, much like Marcus says? The only concern is the Raiders. That's it. Nobody else.
Yeah, listen, I'll go to this weekend's game because it's going to be strength on strength. They're playing a Miami Dolphins defense that's like, all right, we're going to play man coverage, and we play it really, really, really well. And they got two big, long, physical, athletic corners on the outside. The Chiefs are the greatest team in the history of football, I feel, when it comes to beating man coverage. And all of us go, do not play the Chiefs in man coverage. But then as the defense for the Miami Dolphins, you got to go, okay, well, we got to be who we are. You know, that's what's made us this quick turnaround. So I don't care if it's Robinson. I don't care if it's Sammy Watkins. I don't care if it's Tyreek Hill or Miko Hardman. Travis, maybe you should care. But, you know, I think that's going to be the fascinating thing is how Miami decides to play against this offense. In regards to, like, listen, this is what everyone's going to say. The Chiefs are 0-7 in their last 7 red zone trips. Okay, 2 of them are 2-minute drives where they get inside with, like, 5 seconds to go. Naturally, you kick the field goal, right? So that takes 2 of them away. 1 of them, there's a trick play that's wide open, and Travis Kelce misses it. That should be a walk-in touchdown. Then you're going, okay, we're scoring 50%. Another one's a drop. Okay, so everyone that wants to go, oh, they're 0-7 when it comes to scoring touchdowns in their last 7 trips in red zone, slow down, okay? Like, they're going to be fine. And this football team is going to play in the Super Bowl.
Go, Marcus.
Tyreek Hill done caught so many damn touchdowns, he don't even know when he catch one.
And he doesn't ever go to he don't even go to the red zone ever, right? They score so much outside the red zone. I will say this. This will be an interesting game this weekend because if the Dolphins can play man coverage and then they're one of the top, they're ranked 9th in red zone defense. If they can play man coverage and they stymie them in the red zone, then we could have a different conversation next week.
Yeah, and it is on the road. The Dolphins are 8-4, but according to our Football Power Index, have just a 41% chance to make the playoffs. We're going to throw this up on the screen right now. For the Patriots, though, this is a must-win game, as you can make it, by the way. With a win, their playoff chances improve to 30% as you look at this playoff picture here. With a loss, that drops to just 6%. So we see the Patriots very much still in the mix. And though the game out in Los Angeles tonight against the Rams is out there, let's get our Patriots reporter Mike Reese in here. And Mike, after losing 4 straight early in the season, the Patriots have reeled off wins in 4 of their last 5. What's the team's confidence level heading into the game tonight against the Rams?
Yeah, Laura, the theme that has resonated among players the last few weeks is that they finally found their identity, what they need to do to win games. And Captain Matthew Slater, who's really their spiritual heartbeat in the locker room, said once you find that, you can move with a purpose, with decisiveness. And Slater acknowledged, yeah, it took us longer to find that identity than we would have liked, but better late than never. So what is that identity? Offensively, it's limiting mistakes and power running led by Cam Newton. Defensively, it's opportunistic, forcing the issue. And special teams, it's dominating. They feel like when they weave those three things together, they are a tough team to beat.
Yeah, and that's been shown and proven. All right, thanks so much, Mike Reese. And Dak Prescott set to be a free agent after this season. Of course, it's certainly slightly more complicated with his ankle injury, but either way, you'd think Dallas would want to hang on to him. Marcus Spears on this show yesterday brought up an interesting point about Dak's future. Take a listen.
Dak Prescott should want out of Dallas. All right, and I've been holding out and saying that. I've been thinking about where they did offer him a contract and all of that. Dak Prescott should want to find a new spot to play football. You got a quarterback that we all see now worldwide that was the only living pulse that you had as a football team before he got injured. And the biggest indictment is you don't have a choice now but to look like you look. So Dak should want to go somewhere else.
So, Marcus, you said that yesterday in the heat of a discussion early in our show.
Come on.
You now had 24 hours to sit on
That's
it.
That's
going to
be a
Your
great
eyes are gym. Bugged out. How do you feel today?
That was my twin brother. I don't know nothing about that. No. Listen, I still feel the same way, y'all. And yeah, it is a bit personal for me because I think Dak, like we've talked about so many times, has done literally everything you could possibly do to not only prove on the field that he's a franchise guy, but even off the field. And I just did not like the statement. I did not like even the idea that Jerry brought up with Dak running and not taking hits. That flew me over the top. Els, you know, we can disclose some private conversation. I talked to you about this 2 months ago, and I did not like the way that Dallas had handled Dak Prescott. I didn't feel like they acknowledged the value that Dak Prescott had. And we keep talking about numbers and what they offered him. It was about the years. I want to remind everybody, this was about years for Dak Prescott and his team. That's ultimately what it boiled down to. But when you look at the entire thing, right, and I start thinking to myself, all of the contracts that's been given out, all of the attrition that's happened on this team, a new head coach that doesn't look like he has any direction, I still feel the same way.
Well, there you go. So Marcus has doubled down on that. Before we get Dan and Key involved here, I want to go to Adam on the timeline for Dak Prescott leading into the draft and some of the particulars there when it would come to when he would need to sign a deal, franchise tag, all of that. Update us there.
Well, essentially, Laura, the Dallas Cowboys would have until the first or second week in March to put the franchise tag on him. You would assume that would be the direction they would go if they could not sign into a long-term deal. And it might be, frankly, as much as Marcus might disagree, in both sides' best interests to try to get a long-term deal done before the Cowboys have to use their franchise tag on him or while they use their franchise tag on him. But if that window comes and goes and they struggle to get a long-term deal, well, now anything and all scenarios come into play and Dak Prescott becomes the most interesting story of the offseason. Going in, it's probably that way anyway, because if Dallas can't sign him, does Dak force his hand? Is he going to play one more year? Does he tell him I'm not re-signing there? And then they might have to look to trade. There are so many different ways this could go. It's impossible to say how it will go. I would just assume this. Both sides would sit down to try to get a long-term deal done that they have not been able to do up until this point. Have spent 2 years trying to get it done. And if and when they couldn't get a long-term deal done, I would think the Dallas Cowboys would put the franchise tag on him. But maybe, hey, they decide to blow the whole thing up and let him walk. Who knows?
Yeah, our producer, Mark, just sent him a year. March 9th, the franchise tag day there that we should be looking out for. Let's take a look at the projected draft order. Cowboys currently sitting at fourth with a game this weekend against the Bengals, who are third. So that game's got a lot more significance than you might think. How does the 2021 draft play into what the Cowboys could do, Dan?
It's huge because, all right, so they play Cincinnati this week. If they lose to Cincinnati, they become the third pick in the draft, right? Mm-hmm. They're probably not going to get to one or two, but they become the third pick. Everybody knows there's three big quarterbacks coming out of the draft this year. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and then Trey Lance, okay? And so then you're looking at it if you're the Cowboys organizationally. If you look at the teams that right now are playing good football and have had a run of success with wins and losses with younger quarterbacks, it's the Rams, Philly, Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore, KC. They all did it because they had that success after drafting the young quarterback. The financial aspect of it allows you roster flexibility. Dak is not saving the Cowboys. He's not. Your roster's bad. And so if the Cowboys are going to ask Dak Prescott to take an injury clause in his contract, he's going to say no. Then they have to make the decision, okay, are we going to pay him what he wants finally, or do we have to go somewhere else?
You mentioned young. Dak is still young. He's not old.
I agree.
And the only thing you,
he's 28.
You think about this is the money side of it, right? It's a money play. You talk to your doctors, you talk to your medical staff, and you find out right around March, like Adam said, is he healthy? Can we get a long-term deal in play?
Yeah.
You can tag him and still use that as a security blanket all the way up until draft time. If you decide to let him walk, you let him walk. The only reason why you're going to let him walk is because you don't think he's healthy. It ain't because you can't get a deal done.
No, I mean, there's
the deal got cut down once he got hurt in the first place. The negotiations started. Now, all of a sudden, Jerry looked at that. He was like,
what?
Oh, okay, it started. I can start playing games and talking, like Marcus said, about running the football, concerns. That started as soon as he got hurt.
Marcus, quickly.
It started as soon as he got hurt, Marcus.
But Key, what you just said, like, we've been talking about this forever.
Right. Yeah, but he's going to use that to his advantage, though.
The deal is getting done. It's been... But the assumption that a deal is getting done has been a year and a half cycle.
At least.
Not necessarily getting done. Not getting done with Dak, but in Jerry's mind, in Stephen Jones's mind, soon as Dak got hurt, those antennas went up and said, this is a negotiation power for us right now. Hmm. Now Jerry says what
no
he
doubt.
Says. Now Jerry says what he says. Doesn't mean they're not going to get a deal done, though.
Yeah. All right. We've got to leave it there, guys, but this is going to continue to be an interesting topic. Just a few hours away from a huge Thursday night football matchup tonight between the Patriots and the Rams. For more, let's check in at the Domino's pregame headquarters where Rams reporter Lindsay Theory is standing by. Lindsay, it's definitely been an up-and-down season for Jared Goff, but where is he at right now?
Hi, Laura. Well, Sean McVay's public call-out of Jared Goff less than 2 weeks ago really marked a shift in the dynamic here. Goff, now in his fifth season, isn't expected to be perfect, but McVay is tired of watching him make the same mistakes repeatedly. That being turnovers, Goff has 14 this season, fourth most in the NFL. Now, one of the first teams to really give Goff problems was the Patriots in Super Bowl 53. So what better team than the Patriots tonight for Goff to prove that he can handle it? Now, the Pats rank sixth in pressure rate this season. I asked Goff how he prepared. Goff tells me that he's seen a bit of this stuff already this season at this point in the schedule. So whatever the defense sees or whatever the offense sees, they're going to be able to handle it. Rams coach Sean McVay tells me that the Patriots do a really nice job mixing in a variety of looks. Once again, McVay saying, we'll be able to handle it. Laura?
Hey, Lindsay, when McVay says that, you kind of trust him, even if it is against a Patriots team that's given Goff some trouble in the past. Thanks so much for joining us here. Hey, Marcus, you think this has a lot to do with the Pats' defense, though, too?
Yeah, because, look, Els, I don't trust Jared Goff. I mean, look, I'm not one of those. I see Jared Goff play at elite levels at time, and it justifies him getting the money that he got, and you see the arm strength and that ability. And then you have some games where you like, oh my goodness, who is this guy? And anytime he's out of his comfort zone, to me, it feels like when teams can take advantage. It's two things that the New England Patriots are doing that I love. One, when Stephon Gilmore gets back, like he's back now, it opens up areas for this defense to be creative. Right? That's why you pay number one corners. That's why these guys are so coveted, not only because they can cover the number one receiver, but it's also because they give you multiplicity in defense. And Bill Belichick is going to use that to exploit Jared Goff, and I want to see if he can answer.
Yeah, but Keith, we're making this into like a big coaching matchup. It's not really that, right, in your mind?
No, it's not. It's not Sean McVay versus Bill Belichick. It's the Patriots defensive staff versus Jared Goff and Jared Goff versus that defensive staff. And why I say that is when you go back to their Super Bowl year, the Rams, that they made that run, Sean McVay was in the headset all the way to the end with Jared Goff. Pre-snap read, you do this, you do that. That's not the case anymore. He can't do that with him anymore. He had to take the training wheels off. So when you look at it and the confusion in that secondary and on that defense comes to Jared Goff, he has to now decipher what the defense looks like. He has to go from 1 to 2 to 3. He has to change the play at the line of scrimmage. He can't do college football, Dan. He can't turn to the sideline and say, help me out, daddy. He can't do that.
Take a picture. Guys, we have got one more thing before we go, and that is time for our game picks as we head out here today, just about 3 hours and 20 minutes from kickoff of Rams and Pats. We're all on the Rams except for Key. Why are you picking the Patriots?
I just feel it. I just feel like Belichick is going to get the best of them again. I just feel it.
Man,
Dan, you were
my heart tells me Rams. My brain tells me Patriots. I never make choices with my brain. It's always my heart. I'm taking the Rams. Whatever quarterback plays better on third down wins.
Marcus, your eyes are bugging out again. What you got?
I just have no idea where Keith thinks the damn Patriots going to get 37 points from. I'm not hating on the fact that they going to win.
They put up points against Seattle. That's all
I'm saying. No way in hell.
Bro. Tell them, Keith. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Three special touchdowns on the way.